following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
Last week, we were talking about the story of the storm. And for those of you that were here, and many of us, we've heard this story so many times in Sunday school class, but it's when there was a big, big storm. And the guys on the boat are really, really afraid. Well, the reason that they got into that boat in the first place was that Jesus had said, I want you to go to the other side with me. And that's the story that we kind of started last week, and we're going to pick up this week. But before we kind of launch into the story where Jesus is actually in the boat with the fellas moving to the other side, we got to back up, and I've got to set some context for this powerful story. It's a God story, and we're in a series called The Epic Journey. It's the story of God, the unfolding of what it is that God wants you and I to know about Him, and the story that we have can really partner with His and become a powerful story. It's the epic journey. So here we go. I'm going to just start way back in Genesis chapter 12. And there was a man named Abraham. And why it's so important for us to understand the story of Abraham is because within Abraham, there was a promise that God made one day in the 12th chapter, in verse 2. And God says this to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Now that's big. If you think about the vision and the mission of that, that is one of the hugest things you can imagine. Through one human being that has no kids, just a wife, they can't have kids, that's an amazing thing for God to promise an individual. But He does. But Abraham has to pay a price in order for this promise, for this story to actually come into being. And here's what he had to do. Verse 1 of Genesis 12 says, God says to Abraham, now, I want you to leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to that land that I will show you. Now, that's a little vague, isn't it? I mean, God's saying, I want you to move, and I'm not telling you where yet. How would you feel as a wife? If your husband said, hey, hon, pack the suitcases, we're going in the minivan, and we're moving. And you say, well, where are we moving? God only knows. And you'd be literally telling the truth. We want a little more information than that. And so this is the story of Abraham. And all of history, friends, listen, all of history changed the next moment. And that is because what we see Abraham do says Abraham went. Verse 4 of Genesis 12. Everything changed. And that was the beginning of this promise coming into fulfillment when God said, I will make this great group of people. And Abraham, you are going to bless all of the peoples through who it is that you are. And because one man obeyed, and because one man trusted, and because one man said, okay, I'll go to the other side. Everything changed. And so Israel is born. And the people waited, and they waited, and they waited. But it isn't happening. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, look like it was starting to happen, but there was so many ups and downs in the story of Israel. Wars and oppression. Ups and downs. And it's a mess. And just as hope is about to be snuffed out, Jesus comes on the scene. And Jesus says some very troubling things. Jesus says, okay, the kingdom, you know, the thing that we promised, God promised Abraham way back when, the kingdom, I'm it. It's me. It's my life. It's the way I treat people. It's the death that I will for sins of the world, and it's the resurrection. Just wait and see. But it's me. And this got Jesus into so much trouble. I mean, to make statements like that is a dangerous thing. And so Jesus gets into even more trouble today, as we will see the story. He drops a bomb. And that's what I love about Jesus. He likes dropping bombs. I like bombs. I think sometimes we need a good bump. And I think this morning that might just be something that the Holy Spirit uses within us to get our attention. So listen, this is the story. Jesus is early in his ministry now. And he's teaching and he's healing. And people are so attracted to this man, Jesus, that they find their way to him. And Jesus touches them. Their lives change. And there's a growing group of people that know about Jesus. And they are coming in large groups. And so it gets so large. One day Jesus says, you know, you got to put me out in a little boat in the Sea of Galilee and just put me out a little bit because I want the people to hear. Like, I want them to understand that, yes, the kingdom is here, and it's me, and it's my life, and it's available to you, and I want them to hear, but this is getting difficult. Pragmatically, it's getting difficult. Put me in a boat just a little bit out so that people can hear this message. Well, he's doing this, and after one evening, he's just wore out, he's tired, and then he makes the statement that we looked at last week. Mark chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. That's where we'll be now. Mark chapter 4. And in verse 35, Jesus says these words, "Let's go over to the other side." And that is the bomb. Now, why is it the bomb? We need to know just a little bit as to what is on the other side. And so, just kind of, put on your thinking caps, work with me, lean into this because I think it's going to be really beneficial when we start to understand what's the other side. The other side is this, friends. It's an area called Decapolis. Decapolis, it's the Gerasenes, there's some different names for it, but basically what it is, it's an area that has an awful lot of history for being enemy territory. It's a lot of history for there being primarily a pagan people. And this goes way back. I mean, way back when Israel was starting to move towards actually living in the Holy Land, the land that God had promised, the land that God had set aside. This is what it says in Joshua chapter 3, verse 10. Just to give, we've got to get some context before we move into this story. This is what it says. God will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, the Girgashites, Amorites, and the Jebusites. How many nations? How many nations are there? Seven. There's seven nations there. These seven are referred to as the seven nations of Canaan. Now, these nations were also talked about in Jesus' day. It tells us in Acts chapter 13. Now, we're in the New Testament. Acts chapter 13, verse 19, it says, God overthrew the seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as an inheritance. Okay. So in Jesus' day, what we have is we've got Decapolis. It's the other side. And it's rough. And it's bad. And it's pagan. And it's dark. And it's evil. And it's everything that Israel wasn't. The excavations that are going on within this area, it's amazing to me. Just the findings and the cult worship and the gross, deep, pagan sexual worship that would go on in this day. It was just, it really is. It is a stomach turner as they discover what kinds of things went on in the Decapolis. That's the other side. I mean, anybody know, for Israel, what's the most unclean, the most detested animal for all of Israel? Which one is it? It's the pig. It's the pig. Well, in Decapolis, the pig is the sacred object. In fact, the pig is what was used to actually worship their gods. So again, like, there's just so much that's behind going to the other side and understanding what the other side is. I mean, it also was the center of Roman power. Get this, friends. There was in Decapolis something called a legion. And a legion is 6,000 Roman troops. And by the way, the symbol for the Roman troops was the head of a, guess what? There's so many interesting things within the place on the other side that would have gone against, so gone against, what it is that the people on the good side would have believed. I mean, the people on, you know, the side where the ministry of Jesus was taking place in Galilee and such, I mean, they, all they knew is that the other side, that's where Satan lives. The other side, that's where the demonic and oppressive, you know, takes place. That's the other side. No one goes to the other side. And then one day, they hear Jesus just casually say, "Hey guys, let's get in the boat. We're going to go to the other side." It's like, what? What is he doing? Does he know what's on the other side? Does Jesus have a living clue of what he's just said? The other side? I mean, it's no wonder that they ran into a storm. I mean, I'm sure that the disciples weren't even surprised that there was a storm, because you don't go to the other side. Further, if you understand the religious beliefs of the people on the other side, the rulers of sea and nature, it was all from the other side. So the storm just made sense. Why does Jesus want to go to the other side? And it's like he said, doesn't he know that the kingdom is on our side? It's not the other side. It's almost like Jesus believes all people will be blessed. How foolish of Jesus. Jesus says, let's get in the boat. Let's pick up the story, Mark chapter 5, verse 1. So they came to the other side of the lake, to the region of the Gerasenes. This is the Decapolis. Just as Jesus was getting out of the boat, a man with an unclean spirit came from the tombs and met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For his hands and his feet had often been bound with chains and shackles, but he had torn the chains apart, broken the shackles in pieces. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Each night and every day among the tombs and in the mountains, he would cry out and he'd cut himself with stones. So, this is what we got. Very different than the side they're used to. The greeting team, for them, as they got to the other side, one demon-possessed guy. Now, this is a problem, because this guy is a problem to everybody. And they don't want to be around him. This man, he does things that scare people. They try and chain him just so that he won't destroy things or others or himself, but he breaks through the chains. It doesn't work. I mean, this guy, he's screaming, he's crying out in torment all the time. And that kind of bothers them. And besides that, he takes sharp rocks and he just cuts himself. And so he's bleeding all over the place. I mean, they don't want to be with this guy. And so what is he doing? He's living by himself in a cemetery. This is pretty freaky, but there's something about what's going on in this man, you know, that we have to understand. Verse 6. So when this guy that's all demon-possessed, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he bowed down before him. Then he cried out with a loud voice, "Leave me alone, Jesus, Son of the Most High God. I implore you by God, do not torment me." He just screams it. For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And this word legion, this is a loaded word. This word legion, you know, again, we have a legion of Roman soldiers just living right there. And I mean, this word, I think, really, friends, It just shows us the power that Jesus is up against. Spiritually, politically, in every way. There's a force to be reckoned with, and there's a showdown. And Legion and Jesus are up against. It's very interesting. Now it says in verse 10, Legion, he begged Jesus repeatedly not to send them out of the region. Now the demon is afraid of Jesus. rightly so. So the demon asks to be sent into a herd of animals. Anybody remember which animals? The pigs. It's a loaded story. Verse 11. There on the hillside, a great herd of pigs was feeding. And the demonic spirits begged him, send us into the pigs. Jesus gave them permission, so the unclean spirits came out and went into the pigs. And then the herd rushed down the steep slope into the lake, and about 2,000 were drowned in the lake. Friends, this reads really differently to you and I than it would read to Jesus in his day. I mean, I'm thinking that some of you are sitting there and you're wondering, well, they're just cute little pigs. You know, like Porky Pig. You know, like we kind of get this, you know, we imagine them as just a, you know, harmless little thing. And how could, you know, God somehow allow 2,000 of little Porky Pigs kind of run off the cliff? Well, again, it reads really different in our day than in Jesus' day, and here's why. Because pigs were sacred to the Canaanites. There's a book called First Maccabees. It's an ancient writing. It's got an interesting historical picture of what really was going on here, because this is what the Roman legion would do with Jews and pigs. The Romans, the soldiers, they would force Jews to eat the flesh of pigs. If they refused, they were slaughtered. And so it became a symbol of power to the Roman legion. And so it was something that was deeply rooted within the culture of the day. And so again, there's just this big spiritual contest going on. Pigs lose, and Jesus wins. There's an awful lot of meaning behind the story. I want to just pause for a moment and just talk a little bit about, you know, what is this demonic, demon possession? You know, some of the things that this story has in it that I think we have to admit there's some things here that we have to be aware of. And so I would just say there's some comments that I want to make. That I'm going to leave brief, but I think they're extremely significant. And I think I also want to feel for some of you. You're kind of on a journey, and you might have innocently, you know, kind of fallen into ways of thinking or practice or even enjoyment and entertainment that, friends, quite honestly, is dangerous and it's actually going to hurt you and your family. And it has to do with tinkering and toying and playing around and flirting with areas where there can be a demonic open door in your life. Things like, and I know that this is a casual thing for some, but an Ouija board. An Ouija board. What is an Ouija board? Parker's. I mean, they put out this game, but the concept behind an Ouija board is that there's a force you're inviting into a game-like experience for kids to play. And this force and this thing, it's a very, very entry-friendly level, open the door to the demonic. Horoscopes are something that's really interesting to me, too, and that is it's us moving close to something that, by the way the stars and the planets align themselves, we are actually wanting, we're actually looking for a little bit of an edge on how we should think about our day, our week, our month. Friends, it's opening the door, it's cracking the door to the demonic. There's something called Bloody Mary, and it's something that I'm hearing more about with students, and they use this, and it's, you know, you stand in front of the mirror and you do some imagine. Friends, it's cracking the door to the demonic. Now, some of you might say, well, Mike, that's a little extreme. I just really want to be careful that you don't miss something that you need to process and you need to do your own work and homework and seek counsel on. But I'm telling you, for me, I really treat that stuff seriously. Parents, really know what's going on within your kids' lives. Know what they're doing. Ask them about these things. It's significant. And it's the beginning of the next, and then the next, and then the next. I mean, Legion here, you know, there's a history of growth and development there that's a real problem. Where did it begin? You probably track it back to there was something small that took place, and it opened the door for the enemy to really have at it. Now, we can become superstitious in all of this, and I don't want that. It's interesting. One thing that I saw all over the place in Israel, it's a little snapshot, and it's something called a mezuzah. And we got this little thing here, and it's got some biblical imagery and symbolism, but this is on the doorposts of most every hotel room and houses that we walk by. And the belief somehow is that is going to protect you. That is going to bring a protection over your home, your family, your kids. Now, it does refer to, the doorpost, make sure that, that there, Deuteronomy 6, right? Make sure you remind symbols on your heart, doorposts of your heart. There's some real truths that you need to live by. That's one thing that's really, really important. This, however, it can get a little bit weird simply because I need to make sure that is on my door frame in order for me to be protected. That gets into some problem areas too. Now, that's a little mystical. Now does that little stick actually do anything? No. It's the intentions of our heart, friends. And so when we want to have input that is God, we've got a simple ask, and that is open the Bible and allow God to speak to you. We've got a reading guide that's brand new out for the month of March. I encourage you to pick one up on your way out. Open the Bible and allow God to have input into your heart. And don't let the opportunities, go by with your kids or yourself with other things that can open the door to a demonic influence. And so I'm sure that I've raised the awareness to the point where you have some questions on that. And that's kind of what I'd like, questions. I'm not going to give you everything. But you need to really be aware that that is an important aspect as we look at this story. Can we move on? I just want to move on. Okay. Thank you. All right. So, verse 14, it picks it up now because of all of this activity. It says this, "Now the herdsmen ran off, spread the news in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had just happened." Well, this is an interesting thing because Jesus just did something quite amazing in the life of this man. And then they just saw these pigs just do what they do. Now, just imagine with me being the pig herder. This is your job. This is what you do. You herd pigs. And you wake up in the morning and you've got 2,000 of them. And at the end of the day, you've got none. And so you go and your boss says, "So where's my pigs?" And you say, "I don't know. I mean, they all kind of like committed mass suicide. Really weird." How do you think that story goes? That's a strange story. That's what's going on. They have this strange story to tell. And I mean, they tell it. These herdsmen, they go and they tell. How do you tell that story? Verse 15. "So they came to Jesus and they saw the demon-possessed man sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the one who had the legion. And they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demon-possessed man reported it, and they also told about the pigs. Then they asked Jesus to leave their region." Isn't that an interesting response for them to say, "Jesus, go away"? They don't respond to the miracle, the way that you'd expect. You don't hear these people say, "This is amazing. We know the man. We saw what he did. We heard him." They say, "We don't want you here, Jesus. Go away." Why do you think these people responded to Jesus in this way? I'll tell you why. These people were really aware of this guy has got the power. And this guy, well, he's not from our side. So there's probably a good chance he's going to use that power against us, those on the other side. Jesus, go away. Jesus does. And just as he's getting into the boat, Verse 18. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed asked if he could go with him. He comes to Jesus. He says, like, look, Jesus, my whole life has just been dark. I've been in a bad place for as long as I can remember. I'm telling you, Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to become a follower of you. Jesus, you've got room in your boat. Let me come. And Jesus says no. Verse 19. He did not permit him to do so. Instead, he said, go to your home, to your people, and tell them what the Lord has done for you and that he had mercy on you. I mean, Jesus says no. And we think, what? I mean, Jesus, all over the stories that we're reading and learning about, he's calling people to follow him. And this is the time where he says, no, you can't. I'm telling you, you need to tell your story. You need to stay, and you need to say what it is that has taken place. Verse 20, so he went away, and he began to proclaim in the Decapolis what Jesus had done for him. And all were amazed. And as much as this guy wanted to be with Jesus, and I'm sure that he did, I mean, what do you think he felt when he saw that boat just drift away and he's standing on the shore? I mean, you think about what a man thinks about when you've been so trapped by powers you did not know how to get free from, and the person that just has done that for you is heading to the other side, and you want so badly to go. But I love what this guy does, because he's very clear as to what's happened, and he knows, you know what? That man just saved my life. And he said, tell my story. Doggone it, I'm gonna. And he does. And it's an amazing thing as he just walks up to people. Can I tell you my story? You know who I am. You know what I've done. There was a day when I met Jesus, and everything changed. And that the first part of the story. Here's the second part. If we had the time, we'd go to Mark chapter 6, basically starting at verse 45, because Jesus and his disciples, they leave, but here they come back. They come back to the Decapolis. Jesus says one day, hey boys, let's get in the boat, because what? We're going to the other side. And so they do, and this time they return, and it's different. This time, there's a group of people, they're waiting for Jesus. This time, there's people, they bring their children to be healed, they bring the lame, the blind, the crippled. There's great crowds this time. I mean, there's a completely different greeting team meeting Jesus and the disciples the second time that they come. And Jesus heals them, and the people on the other side, they're amazed, and they praise the God of Israel. Can you imagine? The seven nations of Canaan, the pagan, the enemy, the pig lovers, those people, they are amazed and they become God worshipers, the true God, the most high God. First time, Jesus goes, they say, Jesus, go away. The second time, it's the most dramatic reversal we see in the New Testament. People almost everywhere are receptive to this person, Jesus. And I got to ask, why the change? What happened? What took place that changed this thing so dramatically? And I'll tell you what it was. Is one man told a story. That's what brought the change. And I mean, it is an amazing thing when you think about it. This one man could reach people that Jesus couldn't even reach. Think about that. Jesus was asked to leave. Why did these people listen to that man? Because that man was one of them. Because that man, he was from the other side. Because that man, he just chose to tell his story. There's a lot of argument going on, right? A lot of argument about, you know, thoughts and theological discussion, and maybe there's a place for it, but not much of one. But it's pretty hard, friends, to argue against the story of Jesus, isn't it? I mean, call me crazy. All I know is that Jesus has done this for me in my life. What are you going to say? And that's all this man does. no some seminary student. I mean, you got to defrag after you go to seminary. I'm telling you, you know, unlearn when you go to seminary. This guy's just got a powerful story of what Jesus has done, and he just looks for opportunities to tell it. And when he does, he changes the whole other side. Jesus is saying to his followers, I want you to tell your story. Matthew 28, the final words of Jesus, verse 18, are still the words, friends, that we're about today. It's still what it is that we are called to today. When Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth are given to me. So go, tell your story. Go and make disciples. Go and... And I don't know where you come out on this, but I tell you where I come out on it. I just think, for whatever reason, God has chosen to almost limit, because he can, he limits what he will do because he's entrusting that to you and I. I mean, I just think of what it was that this one man accomplished in a place that they did not want Jesus to stay. I love this verse because when Jesus says, you go and you make disciples of all of the peoples, friends, listen carefully, all of the peoples, that means like everyone. That's those on this side, that's those on the other side. It's not about one little country. It's about all sides. And it began with a man named Abraham. And when Abraham was willing to just be obedient and leave and go onto the other side, God begins this beautiful plan that fulfills itself in the person of Jesus, where Jesus just says, okay, now, this is what you do. You just love people. This is what you do. You just bless people. You find ways and you serve people. And you listen to people's stories. And when they ask about yours, you tell your story. You tell your story. And watch what I do when you do that. I mean, God gets a hold of that and does something powerful with that. So we've got to, friends, we've got to figure out ways to engage people. Not in your face, not cold call necessarily. Just live with and among, just like this guy did. Just looking for opportunities to, hey, can I tell you my story? This is what it is. And watch what God does. So here's the question I want to ask. And that is simply this. Where's the other side for you? Who's the other side for you? I mean, if Jesus were here today, and I believe he is, his word would say, I'm calling you to the same thing that I called this man to. And, you know, maybe for some of you, you know, the other side's your driveway. Like, that's just the hardest walk you'd ever make, because that neighbor just bugs you. Maybe on the other side is across the fence from you. Maybe the other side is across the street from you. Maybe the other side is across the work cubicle from you, work area from you, desk from you, hallway from you. I don't know what it is. But I think oftentimes where we live in this place called Kelowna. And I think God would say, that's the other side for me. I love Kelowna. And he'd say, okay, Mike, and every one of you in Sunridge, I want you to go and tell your story. I want you to understand the importance of that. It's my city. I love that city. So here's the questions. You know, there are people in your world that only friends you can reach. Will you reach them? There are prayers for people that only you can pray. Will you pray? You have a story that only you can tell because it's your story. Will you tell it? Worship team, come on up. As they're coming, I just want to bring this thing to a point where I think God can do something maybe within our hearts and our heads and our minds and our, you know, because I really did want to drop a bomb today. I did. I want to rattle us. I want to rattle me. I think that there's something within the teaching of this story that should really push us out of our comfort a little bit, just as Jesus did with the disciples. The other side? You must be kidding. Jesus smiles and says, no, I'm not. I really do mean it. So again, who's the other side for you? Would you make a commitment, friends, with me? Would you make a commitment to pray for somebody that you know that does not know God? You would make a commitment to just regularly pray for that person that does not know God and that they would come to know God? Would you pray a prayer that would say, God, I want to be obedient to what it is that you're asking of me. I want to be aware of what it is you're calling me to do. So, God, if you want me to write a note, I'll write a note. If you want me to encourage them, God, I'll encourage them. God, if you want me to invite them for lunch, I'll do that. God, if you want me to tell my story to them, I will tell my story. Will you pray that God would lead you? Would you commit to say, today I'm going to do that. I'm going to just allow my eyes to close in the face of the person, God, that you lay on my heart. That's the one. That's the one. God, I'm going to pray that person. And I'm going to be obedient to what it is you're calling me to do. Maybe you're here today. You don't have a story yet. Maybe you're here today and the most significant thing you could do is to begin your story today. And that is to just simply say, okay, Jesus, I surrender. I want to be your follower. I want to be a person that experiences the forgiveness of sin and knowing and the faith and the trust and the confidence of you leading and guiding my life. I want my story. I want my story to start today. Today. You can do that. If you don't have a story yet, you can begin that story today. For those of us that have a story, for God's sake, tell it. So, Father, thank you for this time. I pray for those of us here, we'd be really aware of what you're doing and what you're saying to each of us individually. May we be a people that are just about blessing those around us. Look for ways that we can creatively bless people around us. People on this side, people on the other side, people on whatever side. God, any side. I love the way you've said you're going to bless all peoples. May we get rid of our lists. May we get rid of our perspectives and our biases and our prejudice. And just know, this is what you're asking of us. For those that don't have a story, I pray today would be the beginning. And I pray this prayer, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Jesus really is quite an amazing person to just learn from. And I hope today's story grips you as it gripped mine. That we become more like him in the way we live out our daily life. And that is Monday through Saturday too. And so I just want to pray a benediction over us. So may God bless you and keep you. May God smile on you and be gracious to you. May God show you his favor and grant you his peace. And may we be a people. Love our neighbor. Tell our story so that the fame and the reputation of our great God just gets lifted. In Jesus' name, amen.